Never people come and tell me that they don't like their job, that they're frustrated with their job or they're dissatisfied with their job. I always kind of smile and say, well, there you go. You're living the gospel. You can't serve both God and mammon. You hate your job. Maybe you can love God instead. Seems like a nice place to start. No one ever agrees with me when they say that, though. Better luck next time. I think the readings this week all point to one very core idea, and it really does beg a simple question in our lives that we should actually stop and consider very often. And that is, what is your goal? Kind of seems like an open-ended question. Everyone wants the qualifier. My goal in what? That's my point. What is your goal? Overall, above all, through all, despite everything. What is the goal? And hopefully the answer is heaven. Hopefully that we're all striving for that one great answer that is heaven. You know, my great goal is heaven. Because then the next question is, how am I living in such a way that that is my ultimate goal? That that is my final goal? That is what I'm shooting for? Because our actions, the things that we do, are going to become a reflection of the goals that we have in life. The things that we do become a reflection of how we want to live our lives. Somewhere along the way, we took a simple series of questions and we began to skew where we were going. We started to lose sight of that ultimate goal. And I always love to play this, especially with people in high school. You know, you always ask the question, why do you go to school? And they said, well, so I can get a good education. Well, that's good. Why do you get a good education? So I can get into a good college. Okay, it seems kind of redundant, but okay. Why do you go to college? Well, so I can get a good job. Great. Why do you want a good job? So I can make a lot of money. Whoa. Why? When did our great goal become a financial future? So I have financial security, so I'm all set financially. Is that really our goal? I mean, sure, we can say, so I can have a stable financial future, so that I can build a good family, so that I can get them all to heaven. But where did we lose it? Because at a certain point, we stopped asking those later questions. We stopped asking, are we really aiming for heaven? Are we really trying to get there? Are we really trying to do all these things in the meantime? And somewhere along the line, we just sort of surrendered and gave in to, so I can make a lot of money and have a financial security. And it gets veiled in all kinds of noble-sounding intentions. There's this very noble-sounding intention. Why do you make the money? Well, so that I'm not a burden to anyone else. And that's not noble. It sounds like a noble thing, doesn't it? So I'm not a burden to anyone else. But the goal is still the same. We became focused on money somewhere. On making money, on generating money, on having money. But why? I mean, money by itself is just a means. It doesn't have to be evil. It doesn't actually have to be a problem at all. But as long as we see it as that, a means, a way of, not an end, not a goal, not a purpose. Because otherwise, we just become a reflection of Amos. We become what this first reading is warning us against. Remember, these are the merchants. They're lamenting the fact that they have to wait for the Sabbath to end. Oh, this day of rest is killing me. Really? Why? Because the only thing left is to make money. And what happens when you make money? So I can make more money. They become very good at it. They sharpen it. Everything, their actions reflect this goal. And so all of their actions begin to build towards this one goal. What do? We'll diminish the effort. We'll add to the shekel. We'll fix the scales. We'll modify. We'll modify. We'll modify. We'll tweak it just a little bit so we can shave just that little bit extra. Why? Make more money. It doesn't even become a usefulness anymore. It's not even a means at a certain point. It just becomes an end in itself. It just becomes this ultimate focus. Now, I don't think any of you deal with ephahs anymore. I could be wrong. I haven't asked the farming community if they're still measuring ephahs. And maybe they're still measuring grain and cores. I don't actually know. But most of us don't use scales anymore. Not the neat little scales that have a balance in them between that you can actually slightly modify so that one side's always heavier and one side's always lighter. But we still kind of cheat a little. I'm not saying all of us do, but, you know, shave a little off taxes here, maybe throw something on the exemption that isn't really exemptable, maybe just try and squeeze out that last bit. You know, damaged cans are worth a little less, so, you know, if you accidentally drop that one while you're still buying it, you know, maybe you get a little bit off of it. We shave these things off because there's this focus on money. You know, it just these little shadings off. I'm fascinated by just how far people become focused on trying to make that little extra money. It's you know, I got to list it on Craigslist because they don't charge me as much as eBay. You know, eBay, they're taking a whole 1%. That's just killing my bottom dollar. That's killing my bottom dollar somewhere. You know, I just have to go that little extra distance. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm criticizing Craigslist. I don't really care about Craigslist at all. I mean, it's just a website. Use it if you want to. But there becomes this focus where we've lost sight of the ultimate goal. Why are we here? What are we doing? I mean, there's lots of short-term answers to that. And that's not to say that short-term answers aren't okay. There's lots of short-term answers that are fine. Why am I here right now? I'm here right now because I find myself here through a series of needs. That's fine. You know, why am I eating right this second? I'm eating because I'm hungry. You know, these are natural things. That's fine. But what is that great goal? Where is our final destination? What is that great end that we seek, that we really want to be at? Because when we look at what we do for a job, what we do for housing, what we do to build our family, all of those things should have heaven in mind. And that may sound silly to think that I'm thinking about heaven while I'm looking for a house, but it should be there. It actually should be part of what we're doing. Everything from our vocation in life to how we live it should be a reflection that ultimately one day I wish to go to heaven, and everything I'm doing is building towards that. Whether I'm digging ditches or I'm serving on Wall Street, I should have heaven in mind. Because if we lose sight of that great goal, if we lose sight of the end and we only focus on the short-term gains, we've lost. It was interesting to me. Yesterday I had a funeral. And on my way to the Oakwood Cemetery, I was riding in the car with one of the people involved with the funeral, one of the funeral directors. And they said they were watching the report on what the Pope said. And they paused. They said, you know, the biggest church in the United States right now is the Catholic Church. I said, yeah, I know that. He said, you know, the second largest church in the United States right now are former Catholics. And I thought, huh, that's interesting. Why would that be? And the answer actually became clear with these readings. They lost sight of the end goal. They became focused on short terms. I go to church because I'm building up the community. That's great. As long as we remember we're building a community so we get to heaven. Instead it was, well, I'm putting money in the basket and now that money's going to pay for all kinds of problems and I think the church will be addressing these issues and instead the church is addressing these issues and so I'm going to walk away now. Wait. I thought the goal was heaven. I'm not saying the church spends its money wisely every single time. Sometimes people make bad decisions. Sometimes stupid things happen. Mistakes occur. I'm not going to tell you otherwise. The church is 2,000 years old. It has a long-standing history of mistakes. But our whole life should still be focused on heaven. Our whole goal, our whole premise has to be that long-term goal. When we lose sight of that long-term goal, where we're going, well, then all these other things become very frustrating. We become very distracted by the rest of these things. And that's where this gospel comes in. This gospel that speaks to us and says, you cannot serve both God and mammon. We don't work the job just for the sake of working the job. And if we're working the job just for the sake of working the job, I have to ask, why? We have to have something more in mind, something larger. That's what actually is the great irony of the steward. The steward who, you know, the rich young man is reported, the man is squandering his property. He is wasting the gifts that he has, and they're not even his. And he knows they're not his. He knows he's a steward, and yet he's wasting these gifts. And so he's going to be cast out. Keep that in mind. Gifts wasted, things that were not ours that are given to us through means that are not ours, wasted. And then God has nothing more to do with us. There's a big warning here about how we live our lives. And yet this steward, who knows that he's screwed up, who knows that he has squandered this property, he doesn't even deny it. He doesn't even pretend he didn't do it. He knows he's screwed up. He knows he's been wasting all this time. And so what does he do? He goes back and he begins to try and build something better. He suddenly has a longer-term goal in mind. Now, he knows he's about to lose his job, and he's trying to build up a good relationship with the community so that people will think well of him, and so that way he has something to build on. But consider for our own lives, that our actions, what we're doing, how are we spending our time? Are we invested in our life with God? Are we invested in our life with our parish? You know, I regularly hear the great criticism of people when they struggle in a parish is, I don't feel welcome, I don't know anyone, and I don't feel welcome. Are we building that community? And I know it starts with me, it starts with me, and I have to be very active trying to build this community, and I want to do that. But I can't do this alone either. Do we have an active life here at the parish? Or is the response, well, I'm not involved in the parish because nothing really calls to me. Well, if nothing really calls to you and there's nothing really going on at the parish that really appeals to you, tell me what we're looking for. I can't promise that I'm going to start every single idea that comes through my door, but if nobody gives me an idea on where to start, I don't really know where to go with it either. There's a great challenge for us that how we live our lives, the things we do now, should be a reflection of where we want to be, of what we want to be, and of where we want to live when this life is over. That's the great challenge for us.